The book of 1 Peter was written by the Apostle Peter sometime between 60 and 65 AD. It is addressed to believers scattered all across the continent who were facing intense persecution. While suffering is certain to continue, we can find hope in our true position, seated with Christ in glory.
Hi, everybody. My name is Noel. I'm one of the pastors here at Riverview. And did you hear the joke going around about the coronavirus? Well, I really shouldn't tell you because I don't want to spread it around. Yeah. That quarantined dad joke was brought to you in part by Father's Day. So happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. And make sure you let those dad jokes fly with impunity today because you deserve it. And we are just very thankful for you. And I'm fairly certain, by the way, that there was just as much laughter in this room that I'm in as there was in your living room when I told that very, very bad dad joke. Because I'm in a nearly empty room. But I do have to tell you, it is kind of surreal to be back recording in this building, preaching from this spot. I haven't preached from this building since the first day that we went online, which was recorded on March 14th. And I just want to explain a little bit about what the experience has been like this week as I've been spending a little bit more time walking around the building at our Holt venue. And I got to tell you, the best way I can describe what this feels like is it's like this building is a hollow shell. And I mean, even right now, I'm looking around in an empty room with mostly empty chairs. And all of this is a poignant reminder to me of a really important theological concept. And that is that so many times we refer to the church building as if it is the church itself. And yeah, the church building is a church in that sense. But in the most real sense, the church is not the church until the church shows up in the church, because the church is the people of Jesus. The local church is a particular expression of Jesus's church in a localized community of people from all walks of life that choose to gather together and worship in one expression and one body. And yet here we are, like, what, 15 weeks into this thing, and we are still scattered, and we still need to continue to be scattered and gather digitally for a season. And while we're in this season, and while it is really hard for a lot of us, the passage that we are in today, we've been studying through the letter of 1 Peter, the passage we're in today here is a powerful reminder of how normal our experiences are right now. And yes, you did hear me say that correctly. I said it is a powerful reminder of how normal the experiences are that we are facing right now. See, what's happened is it's kind of become like a little bit of a trope to call what we're going through unprecedented, right? Like every commercial says unprecedented. Like it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. And yeah. There's a sense in which this is an unprecedented time. It's a once-in-a-lifetime time. And I suppose that makes that an accurate statement. But what we are experiencing, especially as followers of Jesus, is also very, very normal. Now, before I begin, I do think I should give a little bit of a content warning that I probably should have thought of earlier. I know that you may have little kids present, and today we are going to talk a little bit of the detail of some pretty intense persecution in the early church, and I'm going to try to be sensitive to delicate ears, but some stuff is going to kind of come through in a little bit of detail, and that is one of the advantages of digital church is you can pause it right now and go tell the little ears to do something else for about 15 minutes, because we're going to look at a little bit of this. And again, I'll try to be as delicate as I can be. We are in 1 Peter chapter 4. Today we're starting in verse 12 that says this: "Dear friends, don't be surprised when the fiery ordeal comes among you to test you as if something unusual were happening to you." Did you get that? Like, let those words just settle in for a second. The Apostle Peter says, the fiery ordeal should not surprise you. Sit with that. The fiery ordeal should not surprise you. You see, there is a sense in which every culture down through history has unique idols. And idols are any time that we take something that isn't God and we worship that something as if it is God. And what happens is a lot of times our idols get so baked into who we are because of our culture that we don't even realize this thing that is an idol is an idol in our life. We only realize it's an idol when that thing has been taken away from us and we freak out because it's gone. Let me give you one example of an idol in our culture that a lot of us are freaking out about right now. It's the idol of comfort. Did you know that down through most of history, there was no such thing as air conditioning? In fact, around most of the world today, and a lot of the world today, in some very hot and humid places, way hotter and humider than Lansing, Michigan, there is no air conditioning. And yet we have air conditioning in our houses and in our churches and in our cars. Some of us have cars and our seats in our cars are air conditioning so our tushy can be nice and cool in the car. And we are just all about comfort. By the way, my first car, 1984, Oldsmobile Delta 80, or Delta 88 Royale, fancy car for 1984, had two seat functions, the ka-chunk and the voop. Like it would go shunk forward, shunk back, and it would go voop back. That was it. That's all I had. No air conditioning. And see, the thing is, we've gotten so used to comfort. And it's not just physical comfort. We think, as Americans, that we are entitled to emotional and intellectual comfort as well. And so instead of robustly disagreeing with other people in a way that is uncomfortable and yet still gentle and respectful, we label everybody who disagrees with us as some sort of enemy, right? And then what we do is we retreat into our echo chambers where we only hear from other people who we agree with. And ironically, from that spot, we send pot shots out to everybody else we disagree with, and we don't even think about the fact that we're causing them discomfort, right? And our idol of comfort just invades all aspects of our life. Like, we go so far as to even letting it invade our worship, because we end up believing that we as individuals are the arbiters of truth, and that we and we alone get to decide what is truth for us and what kind of God we're going to worship, instead of letting God make that decision. And usually the God that we want to worship is the one that is comfortable with the sins we most like to do. And so what happens is we have this idol in our culture of comfort. And even for those of us who look to this book as our source of truth, and we try our best to rank ourselves underneath this book, we still kind of expect that we can worship in a way that is comfortable to us. And yet, what does Peter say? He says, do not, dear friends, don't be surprised when the fiery ordeal comes among you to test you as if something unusual was happening. Do you hear what he's saying? He's saying fiery ordeals are not unusual. And what that means is fiery ordeals are normal for a Christian. And so what that tells me is that any suffering that we have, any discomfort we have, from a minor inconvenience to massive persecution, should be something that we look at and think, oh, that's just par for the course. I shouldn't be surprised that this is happening. Peter wrote these words at the start or near the start of the Roman Emperor Nero's bloody and brutal persecution of the church. The Christian church had been blamed for a literal fire that had happened in Rome that consumed much of the city, and followers of Jesus were now scattered across the Roman Empire, chased down, tortured, killed, and Peter says to them, yep, that sounds normal. That's what you should expect out of your Christian life. This is only like a few decades after the launch of the church. And he's like, yep, this is the normal Christian experience. Fiery ordeals shouldn't come as a surprise to Christians. And where did Peter get this crazy idea? Well, he heard it from the lips of Jesus. Because Peter was in the room when Jesus said these words. These are Jesus, quote Jesus, if the world hates you, understand that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. However, because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of it, the world hates you. Remember the word I spoke to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep your word. But they will do all these things to you on account of my name because they don't know the one who sent me. And even the most cursory glance at the history of the church shows that Jesus was right. Not long after the church was launched, there was a man by the name of Stephen. And Stephen declared that Jesus was the Messiah. And then he was stoned to death for believing that. And one of the guys that watched that, who approved of that, who held the coats of the men who stoned Stephen to death, was a guy named Saul. This is a guy who was persecuting the church. And he watched this. He approved of this. And then Saul himself became a follower of Jesus. And Jesus changed his name to Paul. And this guy goes on to detail in the Bible all that happened to him. 39 times. Five times, he was beat by a whip 39 times because they thought that if they did it 40, it would kill you. So they stopped like at 39. Three times he was beat with rods. One time he was stoned. They threw rocks at him and left him out in the street for dead. And according to church tradition, he was beheaded in Rome on or about June 29th, which is coming up. 67 AD. In fact, every single one of Jesus's apostles, every single one of them except John, was killed for preaching in the name of Jesus. And it's not that they didn't try to kill John, it was just that they weren't able to. They boiled him in oil and there's a whole thing there. And this persecution continued. You could almost call it normal for the church. By the time the 200s came along, Christianity wasn't just something that was persecuted. Christianity was illegal in the Roman Empire. You couldn't convert to Christianity from any other faith. And in Carthage, in the northern part of Africa, there was a 22-year-old pregnant woman. She had a little baby. Her name was Vibia Perpetua. And she and her servant, who was pregnant, were thrown into prison together. And so Perpetua had to nurse her child in prison. Her servant gave birth to her child in prison. And eventually, they were sentenced to death for the capital crime of following Jesus. And the way she was going to be put to death was they were taken to a crowd of spectators in an arena who would watch them be torn apart by animals. And her dad heard that this was going to happen to her. So her dad came over, tried to release her. He was captured and he was tortured. And then, so on the day of the execution, they decided to execute the men first. And so they took all the men, including Perpetua's pastor, a guy named Saturus. That guy, on his way in to be executed, stopped at the gates and talked to a guy named Pudens. That was the guy who was in charge of the prison. And that guy eventually ended up coming to Christ because he shared the gospel with him on his way to be killed. This guy came to Christ and eventually was killed himself. All the men were pulled apart by wild animals, and then Perpetua and her servant, they were stripped naked, and they were sent out to the wild animals. And it was so brutal that the spectators who came that day to watch it, they had come and bought tickets for this thing. They just started begging the executioners to stop because it was that bad of torture. And Perpetua, on her way to be beheaded, said these words. She said, "Give out the word to the brothers and sisters. Stand fast in the faith. Love one another. Don't let our suffering become a stumbling block to you." And then she was beheaded. Now, I don't tell these stories for shock value. In fact, I kind of tell them for the opposite. I tell them to remind us that this is what Jesus said was going to be normal for his followers. And this is what Peter said they should come to expect as his followers. And you'll notice an important thread through all of those stories. Did you catch it? In many of those stories, those who were being persecuted for the faith declared the gospel of Jesus to those who were persecuting them, and they became followers of Christ. I could go on and on and on and on and tell stories like this, but suffice it to say, Jesus shocking, was right. Peter was right. And in every century of the history of the church, Christians have faced fiery ordeals just because they follow Jesus, and God has always used it to save people. And it still happens today. There's one organization that tracks these sort of things, and they say that right now, today in 2020, approximately 11 Christians every day are killed because of their faith. This happens in North Korea, Afghanistan, Somalia, and in other countries around the world, including countries that Riverview is involved in helping to plant churches. So let's go back to Peter's words. He says, "Dear friends, don't be surprised when the fiery ordeals comes among you to test you as if something unusual was happening to you. Instead, rejoice as you share in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may also rejoice with great joy when his glory is revealed. If you are ridiculed for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you." This is what Peter and Paul and Perpetua knew. Persecution for Jesus can be a source of great joy. Now, you may remember a couple months ago, if you were around here, we talked about the difference between happiness and joy. The fact that happiness is in itself necessarily tethered to our circumstances, and that joy is necessarily anchored to something outside of our circumstances. In fact, this last week, I posted a podcast online. You can go find it online with my friend Adam Ramsey, who's a pastor in Australia. We talked about this, about the fact that joy is something that is apart from circumstances. And what Peter knew from his own personal experience was that there was great joy in the midst of persecution, because when you suffer for the name of Jesus, you can know a few things. What can you know? Well, from this text, he tells us this: it is normal. You can know when you suffer for the name of Jesus that it's normal. Not only that, you can know that you are sharing in the sufferings with Jesus. This has been, for suffering people down through history, one of the greatest theological truths that we don't talk about as Americans, because we don't suffer as much for our faith as people have around the world. And that is this, that Christianity alone offers us a God who suffers. And not just that, he offers us a God that suffers in our pain. He understands our pain. He was the man of sorrows in his suffering. And we even saw this in the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews 12, verse 2, of the last series that we were in. It says this, it says, "Jesus, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, for the joy that lay before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of God the Father." Jesus endured the cross, brutal execution, and he did it for the joy that was set before him. So when we suffer in Jesus' name, we have this shared experience with our Savior. In fact, Peter goes even further and he says this, that when fiery ordeals come upon us, he says what? He says in verse 14, "You are blessed." What does that mean? Like, how are we blessed when there are fiery ordeals? Well, Peter says, because of the Spirit of the glory of God rests on you. I'm super happy that for the most part, I don't ever see anybody use hashtag blessed anymore. Because most of the time, years ago, and that was popular, every time people were using it, they were talking about something really kind of superficial or something great that had happened in their life. You know, something wonderful like, "Oh, I got the first parking spot at Target," you know, hashtag blessed. Or, "My wife made bacon for dinner with a side of bacon," right? Hashtag blessed. But as Job said in the Old Testament of the Bible, "The Lord gives and the Lord takes. Blessed be the name of the Lord." We are hashtag blessed. We are blessed in the midst of fiery ordeals. Why? Well, he says, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. God himself lives inside of you. The Holy Spirit, who is known as the Comforter, the Counselor, the Helper, the Strengthener, he is there as you face everything that you face, so you are blessed. Not only that, Peter says you can know that this is a test. He says that in verse 12. He says it's a test. In verse 17, he says it's a judgment. Well, in what sense is that the case? In what sense is all of these fiery ordeals a test and a judgment? Well, think of fiery ordeals in your life as a fire that purifies you, like something that burns away all the fluff and all the impurities, and it lets you know where your faith really lies. This is something that I think we all kind of experientially know is true. In the most difficult circumstances that we face in our lives, what we really believe comes to the surface, right? What we have really anchored our life on becomes very, very evident to us in those difficult circumstances. And I could sit here and give you all kinds of illustrations, but I'm guessing every one of us has a few. Those moments when things got really rough and we found out what we really believed. Listen to Peter's words. He says, let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or a meddler. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in having that name, the name of Christian. He says, for the time has come for judgment to begin with God's household. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who disobey the gospel of God? And if a righteous person is saved with difficulty, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Let's just stop there. So then those who suffer according to God's will entrust themselves to a faithful creator while doing what is good. So what we have seen throughout this letter, and I think it matches with most of our personal experiences, is that there will always be suffering in this world. I mean, remember what Jesus said? He said, God causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Suffering, either a lot or a little, is part of what it means to be human. It's part of our human experience. But what Peter does here is he takes two distinct types of suffering, not all the suffering that's out there. He's not talking about every type of suffering, but he takes two distinct types and he contrasts the two here. And he says, one should not identify us as followers of Christ, and one should. And I think the reason he took these two, he said, Christians should not suffer for sinning, but they should suffer because they're a follower of Christ. And I think the reason he does that is because we have this tendency to sometimes suffer because of our sin, and then we shake our fist at God and we point our finger at the world and we're saying, why is this happening to me? And as politely as I can say it, you can summarize Peter's words this way: you did this to yourself, dummy. That's what he's saying. Peter says, let none of you, look what he says, let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or a meddler. And I love that. He's like, he starts with the easy one, murderer. We're like, yeah, I haven't murdered anybody. But then we remember that Jesus said if we hate our brother, that we've practically murdered him, you know. So anyway, but then he goes, evildoer. He says, don't be a murderer, a thief, an evildoer. Or then he says, a meddler. Like, who uses the word meddler, right? What is a meddler? Well, a meddler is a busybody. Isn't it crazy that he links busybody with murderer? A meddler is somebody who is obsessed, one commentator I read, with sinful curiosity. It is someone who's always constantly pointing at their finger at other people and is not too worried about their own sin, but is really worried about pointing out all the other sins that they see in the world. And Peter says a busybody is going to eventually suffer for their busybodiness, right? Just like the murderer will, just like the thief will. And then when it happens, they, just like everybody, has a tendency to throw their hands in the air and say, what's happening to me? A Christian should never suffer for that sin or any of the other sins. We suffer, he says, as a Christian. Look at verse 19. So then, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust themselves to a faithful creator while doing what is good. Now, there's a reason this verse is so critical. If we do good, not to save ourselves, but because we are Jesus's representatives here on earth, we don't save ourselves by being good. And then we suffer fiery ordeals, even to the point of death, we can trust that God has a plan. He is the creator of all things. He is faithful to execute his plan, so we can rest. We don't have to worry. We don't have to fret. We don't have to get anxious. Even more so, our eternities themselves, our spiritual eternities are set in his hands. So in the grand scheme of things, we can know that we are safe and secure when there are fiery ordeals around us, because Jesus has on the cross made all things right. Now he's just shaking everything until one day in glory, it all settles into place that he can show us what he's been creating. And if this is the case, then we can rest in Jesus when we suffer anything, any fiery ordeal, and any minor little discomfort. We're going to have an opportunity for this soon. One of the biggest questions we're getting that Young mentioned earlier is, when are we going to open live services? And as Young mentioned earlier, we're hard at work on this, and it's not as easy as flipping a switch, and we want to be safe, and we want to do things that make people feel safe. In fact, that's why we even built this set on which I'm teaching and in which we're doing this music. We designed this whole thing, and we're making changes to our facility so we not only are safe, but that we feel safe. And so what's going to happen is, the next time you walk into one of our buildings, I guarantee this one thing: it will feel different. And in that moment, you are going to have an opportunity. You're going to have an opportunity to love. Some of what we're going to ask you to do in coming back, in the grand scheme of things, is going to be a minor discomfort rather than a fiery ordeal. And you're going to have a chance to love other people who are different from you, including brand new Rivites who have joined our church family and have never actually walked into one of our buildings yet. Listen to what Peter says. So then, let those who suffer fiery ordeals all the way down to minor little discomforts, according to God's will, entrust themselves to a faithful Creator while doing what is good. The guy who wrote those words to us, Peter, he practiced what he preached. In fact, sometime after Peter penned these words, the Emperor Nero caught up to him. It happened. It was almost inevitable. And the Bible doesn't record Peter's death, but church history does. Peter was arrested, and he was eventually taken to Rome, where he was sentenced to death, either as a cruel coincidence or as a mockery. He was told he was going to be crucified like Jesus. And so Peter said, while it would be a joy to be crucified with Jesus, to share in his sufferings, he felt he wasn't worthy of the honor of being killed the same way. And either because he asked for it or because they decided to mock him, we don't know. Church history tells us Peter was flipped upside down and crucified upside down. This is unlikely to happen to any of us. So we can face minor inconveniences in order to love one another for the sake of the gospel. Minor inconveniences in our church facilities, minor inconveniences in our communities. We can face those things. We can face them representing Jesus well in how we rejoice even when we suffer something minor. I can't wait to be back in person with you very, very soon. And so let me pray for all of us right now. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for the words of Jesus that give us a roadmap of what life will be like. This idea that fiery ordeals, that people hating us because we represent Jesus well, not many of us have experienced that in a huge way, but it just seems like in our culture, that's coming. In the midst of the coronavirus and everything else going on in our world right now, what is definitely coming is more and more hate for following Jesus well. And so we just pray that as we live with the minor inconveniences we have now, that would give us the character and the fortitude and the preparation for one day when true fiery ordeals may come. And we just pray that in that day, along with Paul and Peter and Perpetua of Carthage, we would rejoice as we suffer and share in the sufferings of Jesus. We pray this all in his precious and saving name. Amen.